Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had something horrible happen, something that shakes you to your core, but when you look back, years later sometimes, there was something that wasn't visible then, or even for a long time, but there was something good that came from it. Let me make it abundantly clear that I do not think God gives us pain to see how we will respond. If you only hear one thing from this sermon, may it be that God doesn't cause disease or trauma to test our faith. God doesn't let terrible things happen to us to give us an opportunity to grow. But what I am saying is that growth and good things can happen sometimes, much, 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 much later, with God's help, because of that tragedy or issue or problem, if we let it. For example, in 2010, I went on sabbatical. My son Michael, who was 20 at the time, joined me, and we went to Ghana to work on a farm. We were in rural Ghana, away from any big city. I'm talking no running water, electricity, only when you didn't need it, that worked very little of the time. We were rarely out at night. In that community, the women and the children, they went indoors at night. People lurked in the shadows during the nighttime. Even though we were there for a work project to help the community, we were sometimes viewed as outsiders. It was just dangerous at night. One of the early times, the very first week we were out, we had a night meeting, though. A night meeting at our sponsor's house. Now, he lived a couple miles off the main road. We had hitched a ride on the main road until the stopping point, and we walked the couple miles to our sponsor's house. We were told many things, like, well, the reality is, if you get hurt, don't go to the clinic. They reuse needles. They told us all the bad things. So basically, you're on your own. Okay, great. On our way back to our sponsor's home, again, it was at night. It was the rainy season. There were clouds covering the starlight. There was no moonlight. It was dark. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a place like that, so dark that when you wave your hand in front of your face, you don't see it. Now, we had brought a flashlight. We thought it was an adequate flashlight. Turned out it didn't produce very much light at all. It was a very small, compact flashlight, and it just plain didn't work real well. And we didn't really discover that until we were already there. Great. So we are walking, Michael and I, back from our sponsor's house, a couple miles up a hill. Now, one of the things that was tradition in that area was along the road there were sewage ditches. Now, we were new to the area, so we didn't know that yet. And we were walking uphill at night in the dark. And we walked uphill, flashlight not working too well, And as we walked, we talked. And one simple misstep by me led me to tumble down into a 3-foot ditch designated for sewage. At night, just been told, don't go to any medical clinic. First thing that hit was my head. I went down, flipped. I hit my head, but I didn't get unconscious. I stayed awake. And Michael helped me climb out of the dry ditch. Falling into a sewage ditch in Africa at night without adequate medical care. Blessing wasn't the first word that came to mind. nor the next. But as I look back on it, I was blessed. That night changed my life in a positive way, in a way I couldn't imagine. I was blessed that the ditch was dry. I was blessed that my wounds, I had scrapes starting in my scalp that went all the way down my right side of my body, all the way down my leg, onto my foot. My scrapes from my face to my toes didn't get infected. And most importantly, I was blessed with an attitude change. An attitude change. Before I fell, I was one of those stubborn folks that didn't go to a doctor. Know of any people like that? Don't point to your significant other right now, right? I was that person. I closed the door. My attitude was, I don't need a doctor. Oh, people had told me, but I had already latched the door shut. Now, when I returned from sabbatical, and my foot and my hands were still hurting months after the incident, I'd finally had enough. And this fool had enough and went to the doctor. That led to some blood tests. That led to more tests. The pain was not from the injury, from the fall, but arthritis. Early diagnosis, early treatment, hope out of despair, future where there had been none. And I have to be honest and say it wouldn't have happened in any helpful or timely way if I hadn't fallen into a sewage ditch one night in Africa. The disciples had a certain attitude. The reality was in their life, well, Jesus was dead to them. But then in today's gospel, the risen Christ slips through closed doors and appears before the despondent disciples. But they don't know him. He spoke to them as he had spoken before, saying, "Peace." They still didn't know him. And then the gospel says he showed them his injuries. He showed them the wounds. And then, only then, they recognized, they rejoiced, their attitude changed. Thomas shows up a little later. He wasn't with the other disciples that Easter appearance. The other disciples told him about the risen Christ, but Thomas says, whoa, unless I see the mark of the nails in the hand, unless I can put my finger in his wounds, you know, I'm not going to believe that. The next week, Jesus comes again and surprises the disciples, and Thomas is there, and Jesus obliges, put your finger here. Don't doubt, but believe. Maybe it's never occurred to you, but being raised from the dead didn't erase Jesus' wounds or scars. We clean Jesus up pretty well on Easter. But the fact is, the Christ of Easter bears the injuries made on Good Friday. Jesus' disciples, like Thomas, recognized him. In this instance, only with his injuries. It's fascinating to me that Easter, the stunning triumph of God, the great victory over death and defeat, didn't erase the pain, the suffering, the heartache of his life. I wonder if the risen Christ walked into this room, would he flinch a little like I do when my hand is squeezed by some well-meaning soul? Maybe that's why Mary Magdalene finally recognized Jesus and turned to him, saying, "Rabboni." He immediately said, "Don't hold on to me yet." Maybe it took him a while to grasp the idea. I can do this. The risen Christ has just moved from death to life, has sailed forth from the tomb triumphant, and in his exalted form, the disciples just didn't recognize him. It was only when he showed them the scars, and then they said, "Oh yeah, that's Jesus." So I say, don't be too hard on Thomas. Don't be too hard when he says, "Whoa, wait a second, I'm not going to believe it's Jesus unless I can touch the wound." Thomas isn't being simply obstinate. Thomas may be saying, "You know, I won't believe in Jesus unless I see his pain, because the Jesus I know has wounds from the pain." They knew him, I think, because Jesus, the Jesus whom they loved, didn't hover over the heartache of the world. He embraced the pain, reaching and touching with compassion despite personal suffering. I believe he lived where we lived, died as we must die. Now, early on in the Christian faith, there was a fringe group called Docetism, and they said that Christ really didn't suffer on the cross, really didn't live as we must live on this earth. He only appeared to suffer, only appeared to be human. It was just an act to have us act like him. And the early church said, no. Jesus bore human pain. 1 Peter 2 goes as far as to say, by his wounds you have been healed. In a way, to be human is to have pain inside and out. You have scars, physical, emotional, spiritual, human as you are. I do too. The risen Christ, the Christ after Easter, does also. Now, there are people who think that Easter has overcome all of that. They think that just because Jesus was raised from the dead on Easter, the cross is set right, overcome, and fixed and forgotten. And the church once again says no. The risen Christ bore the nail prints in his hands. That's how they knew the mysterious stranger who stood amongst them was none other than Jesus. And Thomas actually touched those wounds. Faith doesn't deny the pain, the reality of the wound, the existence of the scar. It won't. Faith enables us to go on in the name of Christ, even with our wounds. The risen Christ was known by wounds. Now, during my years as a pastor, in all of the churches I have served, they have been in different geographical, different economical places, but they've all come. There's one similarity. I have found that people have come to tell me, when I first arrive at a church, some past wound they have suffered in their life. Suffered sometime before I came to that particular church. So why do they tell me of their past, their pain from the past? It's not self-pity. I think they tell me so that I will know them. You'll know me now, they seem to say, even as Thomas knew Christ as obedient Jesus by his wounds. Curious, sometimes there are wounds that actually heal others.
Strange. Somebody who is hurting may lead to another's wholeness. Amazing. Trauma may bring gifts we never knew existed within us. And maybe, just maybe, those experiences are the only way to activate the deepest parts of our soul. And when those deepest, most intimate parts are activated, we become alive in a way we could never imagine, for it enables us to bring healing to others, and the more we help, the more we realize we are healed. You see, God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce crops. Broken clouds give us rain. Broken grains give us bread. Broken bread gives us life. You've experienced some trauma in your life. Some is visible, some is invisible. Some gets more visible as you age. I've experienced some trauma too. Some is visible, some is invisible. The one who called us here this day has experienced trauma. My friends, the only way to come to God is as ourselves. That includes warts, wrinkles, and yes, even our traumatic past, the hectic present. Not because those things define us, but that it's a way toward wholeness in the future. Jesus was real. I say around here a lot, you gotta be real, you gotta be you, I gotta be me, and together we're a rainbow that blankets this world with love. Jesus was real. We need to be real too. And that includes the wounded parts of us. Through those wounds, we become the healers of a broken world. Thanks be to God. Amen.